you never give up, Rich, do you? You never give up!
I didn't kill my wife! I don't care!
Intense. 720 WGN. Mike Steven here with you until 10 o'clock. Patty Vasquez coming up at 11. And we're listening right now to part of the score from the movie The Fugitive. One of the greatest crime thrillers, of course, set in Chicago. You got your Harrison Ford, you got your Tommy Lee Jones. And if you're curious about where exactly they filmed that movie here in Chicago, you can check out an online map that lists all 24 scenes of The Fugitive's Chicago locations. I love this idea. Evan Bindleglass is a freelance journalist. He is a contributor to Curbed.com. That is where you can find this map. And he just absolutely loves The Fugitive. He is here with us on WGN. Evan, nice to talk to you, man.
Good evening. Before we go into The Fugitive, I did my homework, and you apparently are owed a congratulations.
Yes, you're referring to The Offspring.
I am.
Well, thank you so much, and not the band of the 90s, era.
No, the little you that is sitting at home with your wife, I imagine.
Yes, little Mikey is listening. He is, we gave him PPM, so he's going to get some ratings for us. So I appreciate that, Evan. Thank you so much. And
you're welcome.
You are, you're an interesting dude because you are sort of this like cinephile. You love pop culture and you love The Fugitive. Would you say that Fugitive is one of your favorite movies of all time?
Yes, and I've been saying that since the mid-90s when I first... I don't know if I saw it the year it came out, but since I first saw it, I loved it. And it's part of the reason I fell in love with Chicago.
Oh, right, because like I was saying, Fugitive takes place largely here in Chicago, and you love The Fugitive so much that you took the time, and you for Curbed.com, you, like I said, you are a freelance journalist. You created this map that features every Chicago scene. So it's literally a map of Chicago with markers that you can go online and check out. And you can see what scene takes place in what particular area of Chicago, because they actually shot a lot of that film here, didn't they?
They did, with the notable exception of the entire dam and bus down a ravine and train sequence, which was shot in North Carolina. The film was largely shot in Chicago and largely shot at the actual locations. So there are a couple of locations that double for fictional locations, mm-hmm. such as the Clark Lake L stop is in the movie. It's called Balboa Station, which doesn't exist,
right,
as far as I know.
Right. Right. So they were here in Chicago. They were filming this. Do you know why they chose Chicago?
I wish I knew that. I apparently didn't do my homework, but I don't know why they chose Chicago. But I was thinking about, while I was rewatching it to write this story, I was thinking, what if they had made this in New York? It wouldn't have been the same movie. And I'm from New Jersey. New York is my city. I work there. I've worked there for almost a decade.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it just, Chicago provides something different, and it looks so great in the movie. The aerial shots of Chicago that start the movie. I mean, you've got the murder of Dr. Kimball's wife intercut with these beautiful night shots of Chicago from the sky.
Right.
It's almost a haunting dichotomy of scenes.
And of course, what sticks out in my mind when I think of The Fugitive, there's that famous sequence when Dr. Richard Kimball goes to the St. Patrick's Day parade, and they actually shot that at the real St. Patrick's Day parade. He had Mayor Daley walking around there. He had Roland Burris, I remember, made a cameo in the movie. So they used the real life St. Patrick's Day parade that year, didn't they?
They did. And it's one of, which brings you to one of the other awesome parts of this movie, which is that Tommy Lee Jones and Harrison Ford only appear on screen together three times in the movie.
Really?
Three times. Words are only exchanged in a four times. Words are only exchanged in three of them, and in only two of them do they talk to each other. Because you have the scene at the dam. You played the clip, "I didn't kill my wife, I don't care."
Right.
And then you have the scene in City Hall when Gerard goes, "Kimball," and chases him down the stairs.
Mm-hmm.
Then you see, so he speaks to him. Then you see them both in the parade. You see them, but they don't see each other. And then you have the end where they finally come together, and Kimball tells him, and if you're going to use this clip, I'm sorry if I'm cutting ahead, but where Kimball says, "They killed my wife," and Gerard says, "I know it."
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Right, absolutely.
And yet there's amazing chemistry that they have. The only other movie that comes to mind as a similar thing is Star Trek II, because Kirk and Khan never are in the same room.
That's right. And you're talking my language, man. And we're going to talk a little Star Trek in a second here. So just stand
sorry,
by.
I didn't mean to jump ahead to that.
No, that's okay. Star Trek II. Anytime you want to mention Star Trek II when I am sitting here manning the controls in front of this microphone, that's cool. This is a safe space for Star Trek II. I am all about Star Trek II here when I'm on a 50,000-watt radio station. So other places like 50 West Washington, of course, the Daily Plaza, the famous Picasso. You mentioned City Hall. Also, Migs Field. They shot a scene at Migs Field. So this movie was all over Chicago. What made you want to sit down and map all of these locations out?
Well, I contribute to Curb New York. And for Valentine's Day, I did a map of the locations of Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Ah.
And my editor's there. I said, "Great job. If you have any other map ideas, send them our way." And I sent him one for something that I jumped the gun on that being classic enough for a map. But they said, "Do you have a St. Patrick's Day idea?" I said, "I do if I lived in Chicago." They passed it on to the editor of Curb Chicago, who asked me to do the story. And, you know, it's great when you have a movie that you love to watch to do something like this. And there are lists online that list of the locations, but I had to make sure that I got them right. For instance, there are lists that list his apartment as 336 West Wisconsin,
mm-hmm.
and it's 342. And it's not like the confusion over Holly Golightly's building in Breakfast at Tiffany's. The building is marked differently in the movie than its actual street number.
Wow.
So, and that took a little bit of research and some understanding of the New York City information system.
Yeah.
Like the official government map that tells you exactly what number every building is, which isn't necessarily historically accurate, but currently accurate.
Evan,
so, yeah.
You know what I like about you? You're thorough. You do your job. You know, you are a journalist. And when it comes to stuff, especially that you are fired up about, that you're passionate about, you leave no stone unturned, because on this map you have the addresses, you've got some descriptions about what happens in the scene in these different Chicago scenes in The Fugitive, the Wells Street Bridge and whatnot. I think it's great.
The idea is that we want to tell the story. I mean, my hope is that people will watch the movies first, because I don't want to ruin it for them.
Yeah.
There are twists and turns and unexpected moments, and I hate to be a spoiler. But if you have no desire to watch movies, but yet you want to read this map, understand those people, but you will get a good sense of the movie. You won't get a sense of the moment, like the "I didn't kill my wife" moment, or actually seeing when Andreas Katsoulis' character actually bashes in Celia Ward's head. You don't get the same visceral reaction.
Mm-hmm.
But you still get a sense of the plot.
That's interesting. Well, Evan, again, this map is online. You can go to Curbed Chicago, right? So chicago.curbed.com.
I'm sorry, chicago.curbed.com.
Right, so chicago.curbed.com. If you would like to get schooled in the ways of The Fugitive, this is where you can go, chicago.curbed.com.
"When I came home, there was a man in my house."
That was Dr. Richard Kimball.
"How dare you?"
Harrison Ford. I was going to say, get off my plane. But that's a different movie. That's Air Force One.
No, that is another classic. Yeah, yeah. But, of course, mapping that. What are you going to put? You're going to put Moscow and Kazakhstan. And that's it.
That's right.
And the rest is entirely in the sky.
I don't care.
Andy's having some fun with a Harrison Ford soundboard, apparently, from The Fugitive.
Tell.
So, all right, Evan, hold on, because you're a journalist. You are just a scholar of culture. You are also a Star Trek fan, and we've got to talk Star Trek, because you are reviewing every episode of Deep Space Nine, and you are ridiculous because you've never seen the thing all the way through. We got to talk about this, okay? So hold on 1 second, Evan Bindleglass.
You find this man.
We found him. He's Evan Bindleglass. I'm Mike Steven. This is 720 WGN.
Our fugitive has been on the run for 90 minutes. Average foot speed over uneven ground, barring injuries, 4 miles an hour. That gives us a radius of 6 miles. What I want out of each and every one of you is a hard target search of every gas station, residence, warehouse, farmhouse, hen house, outhouse, or doghouse in that area.
Newman?
Yes?
What are you doing?
I'm thinking.
Well, think me up a cup of coffee and a chocolate donut with some of those little sprinkles on top, will you, as long as you're thinking?
Tommy Lee Jones had all the best lines in that film, in The Fugitive. 720 Mike Steven. What's going on, 720 WGN? I am Mike Steven here with you until 11 o'clock. Patty Vasquez coming up at 11. On the phone with us right now, Evan Bindleglass. He's a freelance journalist. He is a contributor to Curbed.com. You could go on to Chicago.Curbed.com for his map of all the Chicago scenes in the movie The Fugitive. Evan, we got a couple texts at 312-981-7200. Asking what year was The Fugitive made?
It came out in 1993.
1993, all right. Very good, very good. I also said that you have a website. It's your own blog. It's a lovely WordPress site. It's I'm just going to spell it because I don't know how to say it. It is EVABIN, short for Evan Bindleglass.
It is. I say Evabin.
Evabin.
It goes back to my high school gave everybody email addresses, and your email address was the first three of your first name, first three of your last name. And I figured with a last name like mine, that seems a simple enough thing to, you know, just keep going. Of course, every so often someone thinks my email address is Evan Bin. And then I'm like, I didn't know I didn't get your email. And then I go over their workstation. I look over their shoulder. I'm like, oh, yeah, you added an N in there. Anyway.
So it's Evabin, EVABIN dot WordPress dot com. And you are going through the entire series of Star Trek Deep Space Nine and reviewing each episode. So let me get this straight. You've not seen that series all the way through?
Not all the way through.
Oh.
I got several seasons in when it was on in its original airing in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And then I guess, you know, when you're relying on a VCR, and if you forgot to tape it, DS9 was far more serialized than The Next Generation. And so if you missed an episode, you might suddenly find yourself not knowing what's going on the plot. I mean, they started doing that really heavily later, a little bit later in the series, but there was a lot more of that than there was in TNG. So
right. Well, I will say, go ahead.
I never got around to it. I also went into it as a little bit of a Next Gen and Enterprise shows snob. I was like, oh, this is on a space station. We should be out exploring the galaxy.
Right.
And yes, I know there's the wormhole. They can go to the Gamma Quadrant.
They do.
Whatever they please. But it wasn't the same. But now, watching it again, I'm getting a new appreciation for how great Benjamin Sisko was.
Oh, he's great.
Because
Avery Brooks.
Avery Brooks. He's his own man. He's not a new version of Kirk or a new version of Picard. He's totally his own man.
No, he's great.
I mean,
and this,
they really set that up in the pilot by having him go up against Captain Picard.
That's right.
Sort of.
They do.
Who,
and
of course, sort of killed his wife.
The series. The Battle of Wolf 359. Now we're getting technical, but the series is awesome. Just wait until I don't want to spoil it for you because I've seen it in its entirety, but it's great.
I know they get a punchy little ship with a cloaking device. I know about the Defiant, but...
Oh, all right. I'm just going to try not to let the cat out of the bag there, but you go with your Defiant talk, I suppose.
I even do remember when Commander Riker's sort of transporter twin comes back and goes evil.
That's true. Thomas Riker.
Thomas Riker.
Uh-huh. Who was lieutenant.
On the Defiant.
Yes, that is true. Right now, Andy is in the producer's booth just like sobbing. He doesn't know what's going on. He doesn't know what we're talking about. Evan, I will say this. You are a fine American for doing what you do. So thank you for that. Evabin.wordpress.com, EVABIN. That's Evan Bindleglass's website. You can also check out his contributions to Curbed.com, the map that features every Chicago scene in the movie The Fugitive at Chicago.Curbed.com. You are a great lover of pop culture. You're a cinephile. It's fantastic what you do. Stick with Deep Space Nine because it's fantastic. And we'll talk to you soon, Evan. I appreciate it, man.
Thank you.
All right, Evan Bindleglass again, freelance journalist, all-around fine young man. I'm Mike Steven. We'll take a short break. We'll come back. We'll get a look at the news with Rob here on 720 WGN.